Pushkin.
Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do. That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill-building courses for you to choose from because the steps you choose to take today will help you love what you do in the future. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
I'm Jacob Goldstein, and this is a special bonus episode of What's Your Problem? My guest today is...
Joel Stein. Is that my time to go?
Hi, Joel Stein. Yeah, so Joel, you're hosting a new show at Pushkin. It's called Story of the Week. Normally, we'd explain right now what Story of the Week is, but you have a theme song for your podcast that explains the whole show. Let's just listen to that.
Writing is hard. Who's got that kind of time when you're already busy trying to be Joel Stein? So he turns on a mic, maybe twiddles a knob, calls a journalist friend who's got an actual job. Auditory, single story, just listen to smart people speak. Conversation filled with information, it's the story of the week.
So, okay, I got it from the theme song. You're Joel Stein.
That's the only important part. I'm Joel Stein.
Every week you call somebody who wrote a story and you interview them about the story that they wrote.
Yeah, we find the long, complicated magazine articles that people spent 6 months on that we used to read when we subscribed to magazines. And I do the heavy lifting of reading it. And then I call someone and have them explain it. And then I put my name on the podcast.
So I think we call that arbitrage. In the yes. business, journalism business.
That's exactly what it is.
So we're going to play part of an episode of your show here in just a minute. It's the one where you interview a writer named Douglas Rushkoff. And so just give me a little setup. Who is Douglas Rushkoff and what's the story?
So he's a writer, but he's also a professor. And what he writes about is how the internet is affecting society. One of his gigs, in addition to being a professor and a writer, is to go speak at conferences. And he gets invited to this conference out west at some fancy hotel, and he's paid more than he's ever been paid. He gets 40 grand to come give a speech, prepares a speech, gets to the green room, is waiting to get mic'd up, and five guys walk in, and they're not there to mic him up. They are the conference. And so he's been paid $40,000 just to talk to these five billionaires.
And what do they talk about?
They don't want his speech. They spend most of their time asking him about where to put their bunkers for the event. And the event, it could be anything, any world-ending event. It could be, you know, climate disaster. It could be the AI robots taking over. It could be nuclear war. They're preparing. They're spending a bunch of their money to build bunkers.
So he goes home from this speech that was not a speech. He writes up the story of what happened to him. He publishes it online in Medium. And then the part of the show we're going to play now is this really interesting part about what happens after the article comes out.
Yeah, that's where the adventure really starts.
Let's listen to the show.
Okay, so after the piece comes out, you get an email from a bunch of people who basically want to sell bunker stuff to rich people. And one
they
of the-
want me to introduce them to my five billionaires.
Why not?
Right? Oh, I sell the best bunkers. I bet that Navy SEAL, you know, employment service, all those kind of things.
And one of them is named J.C. Cole. So who is he and what was his idea that he emailed you about?
It's weird. I mean, people are telling me I shouldn't love this guy, but I do love this guy. So J.C. Cole is he's a real MAGA guy, a MAGA Trump supporter guy. He was running, I forgot what country, like Latvia, one of these places after the fall of the Soviet Union. He was running like the embassy in the Chamber of Commerce.
The American Chamber of Commerce in Latvia.
And he had to do security and all that. But he had witnessed the fall of the Soviet Union and how you had to rebuild a society. And he has these a couple of farms and equestrian centers out in Jersey and Pennsylvania, and he got the idea to create kind of sustainable farms in around the country that billionaires could buy shares in. You pay a few million dollars to get shares, and then you have a place to go when the shit hits the fan. So he would build them around near like 2 hours away from each major city and have-
One was in Princeton.
Right, one's in Princeton, one's like in the Poconos. He's trying to build them in different places. And he said, you gotta come, you know, you gotta see this place. And I'll come. And he's like, do you shoot? Right? And I'm like, so? He's like, bring your boots. So I bring like these, you know, like wife's boots, right? To go out like in the mud.
What, you bring whose boots?
My wife's, but they don't fit. But
what kind of?
You know, to boots. I want boots. He says to bring boots. I've used plastic bags on my sneakers. You know, he's got a muddy farm and he wants to go out in the back and shoot.
And do you shoot?
I did shoot.
Okay. Yeah, it was your first time shooting a gun.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was kind of cool. It's kind of cool. There's two kinds of gun. There's I guess it's more than two, but he
shotguns
had two.
And rifles?
No, there was a little gun that shot 22 rim fire. That's like
pow, pistol. Pow, pow, yeah.
Right? Which you could shoot and not, it doesn't hurt. Then he had a Glockenspiel, no, whatever it is, you know.
that's an instrument.
Whatever. A gun with 9mm. Yeah. And that, you shoot it and it moves your hand. It really,
recoil.
Recoil. It's a whole thing.
Okay. So you meet him and his idea. His idea is he's going to build these bunkers, but they're also farms.
Not bunkers. They're not even bunkers. He's going to build working farms. You buy a share in this farm. You spend like $5 million now, and you're investing in a farm. And then when shit hits the fan, you come out, and you live and work on this farm. And there'll be a dentist and a doctor and all the different kinds of things that you need. Several hundred people living on a farm. And there'll be, of course, a dozen Navy SEALs, you know, armed to the teeth to guard the place.
He said something to you that kind of summed it up for me completely. He said, I am less concerned about gangs with guns than the woman at the end of the driveway holding a baby and asking for food. What did he mean by that, and how did it affect you?
Well, it was weird. After we had, you know, shot rounds, and he was talking about the various kinds of military guys and Navy SEALs that were going to come protect the place, I was like, yeah, but what if a giant gang of motorcycle guys came with chains and machine guns, you know? What? And then he said, yeah, I'm less worried about that than I am the moral quandary of the starving people at the gate. And that's what made me love this guy. So this guy, the part of his plan that I think is great and that none of the billionaires like is that your money doesn't just go to the farm that you're living in. Your money is also an investment in a company that is meant to train people around the country how to build their own farms. Because his idea is, if we're the only ones able to do this, then everyone's going to be coming and attacking us. That the more resilient we can make the rest of the country, the more we can have other people taking care of themselves, the better off we are. And that philosophy alone from a supposedly MAGA Republican gun-toting guy is what's keeping the tech billionaires from wanting to even invest in him, because he's too egalitarian. He's too communist for them.
Okay, so your communitarian farm MAGA guy is getting no buyers. And his website looks like crap, by the way. He seems like a guy who's not really plugged into the billionaire tech community.
Right.
And then there are these other companies like Vivos. They're the ones that sell the old nuclear bunkers. And then they turn them into what seem like kind of awesome Miami condominiums where there's like hot tubs and swimming pools and...
Yeah, they're like little Dr. No sort of retreats, you know?
They sort of look awesome. And then there's this snazzy video on Vivos while they're playing this song that says, "Say Your Last Goodbyes."
Say your last goodbye.
they suddenly have like the basically the coolest looking condo ever. And people are buying into that. And this one called Oppidum or something in the Czech Republic.
Whatever is happening in the world outside, you can rest easy and live fully in times of tranquility and in times of unrest.
That's really just a condos kind of. It's just these gorgeous condos with an indoor pool, but they're in really fortified, you know, subterranean basements and stuff. I mean, it's sort of a version of the RV fantasy for the retiree, mm-hmm. you know, or your tiny house. You know, there's something that's really kind of sweet about having your houseboat or your tiny house or your RV, and you just live there and you open up your little meals and, yeah. you know, that, I mean, think about it. It's like, it's a hard world and it would just be so simple. Like,
what other amenities did you see that you were like, oh, this is pathetic. It's never going to work out.
Every single amenity I saw, I thought was pathetic and wouldn't work out. I mean, the ones that were even more pathetic was, you know, as I did more research and looked at the kind of the eco farm ideas that these kind of Burning Man dudes come up with, you know, they have all these great ideas, but they believe that somehow they can survive in a hermetically sealed world. So like their solution for topsoil is to have these big plastic tubes that you put topsoil in and then you grow your plants there. So you don't have to water the whole earth. You could just water the tubes in which your food is growing.
Oh, that's nice.
But where people do that kind of stuff or vertical farming on rooftops, it's like you get fungus in your system. Right. And what do? You right. call the guy, hey, what do? They come in, they switch out your vertical farm stuff. They say, oh, here's a fresh tube. You know, try a little bit less water next time. Maybe that'll, what do you do if you're in your bunker and your tube gets the fungus in it? It's like, it doesn't work.
There's also this thing that these billionaire preppers do, at least I've read, which is they get LASIK. Because basically the Twilight Zone episode in which the end of the world comes and that guy is super psyched because he loves to read and he's finally left alone and then he steps on his glasses.
There was time now. There was all the time I needed. It's not fair.
So they've all solved for that by getting LASIKs because they want to eliminate that need.
Yeah, well, what you got to realize is the majority of the things they think to solve for are things they've read about in Neal Stephenson or seen in Walking Dead. They're really particular. So when you mention something really normal that they haven't solved for, like, what about contamination of your water supply? That's not like sexy enough for a novel, but it's like way more possible.
All right. There's this thing we thought we might be fun to do with you, which is you don't have to do it. One of these bunker places, Vivos, they have a membership form to apply. And we were wondering if you and I should fill it out.
You could fill it out.
Do you want to at least look at it?
I'll look at it. Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah. So there's a name and address and stuff, but then it gets interesting. It's like
their age. That's important. Oh, this is like giving sperm. They're probably going to ask for SAT scores. And stuff. No. It's not like giving sperm.
No.
It is
age. Then
skills and expertise.
Number of people in your group, right? And then skills and expertise. What could you do? But that's smart. Are you a dentist, an EMT, a hunter, law enforcement? Right. Journalist is not in.
It's not here. Wait. What would we check off? I guess we could check off communications.
Yeah.
That's an option.
Yeah, but the communications thing. Can you build a ham radio from crystals?
Oh, that's what they mean. They don't mean just talking.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I like to have one that's just survivalist.
Wait, they also have one that's just religion.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I could do that. I'm ordained as a rabbi.
And then there's an essay section too.
I know. It's like applying to Oberlin.
Tell us what skills and expertise you have and how you will be a benefit to a Vivo shelter community. This information will assist us in processing your application.
I would think the idea is that the more you have to offer the community, the less you might have to pay. You can get a scholarship. You know, if you're like us, you just got to pay the full billion or whatever it is to get in there.
So I just need to hire a chemist and a hunter and a seamstress.
And make them part of your group.
Yeah. We got to form groups.
Right. My expertise is cannibalism.
That won't get you in. No.
That's an excerpt from Joel Stein's Story of the Week with Joel Stein. You can listen wherever. How do you create present and future value? As a leading provider of specialized finance, operations, and technology advisory services for Fortune 500 companies, emerging growth market leaders, and private equity sponsors, Cross-Country Consulting solves today's most pressing challenges and creates present and future enterprise value. With tailored, integrated solutions for accounting, risk, technology-enabled transformation, and transaction solutions, Cross-Country works as a strategic partner and collaborative part of your team. The future-ready business, insight and within reach. Go to crosscountry-consulting.com to learn more.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.